nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "You may not always get what you want, but you always get what you expect." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who get what they expect. Our first playmaker is the number one salesman for the city of Fort Worth, while our next playmaker is a Red Raider. With us today is the CEO of a company who began as a tram driver in Southern California, while our next playmaker literally stands on and by his work. These great playmakers are Bob Jamieson. Bob is CEO of the Fort Worth Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Greg Fricks. Greg is co-owner of the Fricks Company, and we're going to begin today's show with Greg. Greg Fricks began working with his father in 1990 and now is the co-owner of the Fricks Company, a national industrial concrete floor contractor specializing in durable, abrasion-resistant floors. Greg's father, Terry, started the business in 1979 as a placing and finishing contractor in the DFW area. By 1989, Fricks was a national specialty floor contractor. In 2004, Greg and his brother Brad owned the business through a succession program and began working in Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Chile. Fricks floors meet the demands of high traffic, high turnover volume distribution facilities that use forklifts with small hard wheels carrying the heaviest loads and the highest frequency. We'll talk more about that. Greg, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you got in the family business right after graduating from Texas Tech. Was that pretty much a foregone conclusion that you're going to go in the family business?
Absolutely. From the time I was 15, I'd started working in the field and just loved everything about concrete and only went to college as a means to get back home to work for my father and eventually work with him.
Which tells me you probably had a lot of jobs within the company as you were growing up.
I did. I'd started at the very bottom and worked my way up from operating. Some days not even being able to operate a shovel because I wasn't old enough or big enough to keep up with the men, and then work my way up through that, learning how to operate every piece of equipment that we owned and perfecting myself. And I was actually a tradesman finisher by the time I graduated from high school. Thought I was going to go straight into the business from there, and my father surprised me and said the only way I could work for him is if I had a college degree. So I went to college, went to Texas Tech, graduated in just over 4 years, and came back and been on an upward strive ever since.
So except for those few years you're at Texas Tech, you've been working in the company how many years?
Almost from the beginning. He started the business in 79, and I started working for him somewhere around 82, 83.
So it's nice to have a co-owner of the company, both brothers, that almost were there from the very beginning too.
Yes.
Well, I was talking about what you do, talking about floors, or concrete floors. I don't know much about that. What do you do? And I know you specialize in the food supply industry, but tell us really what you do and how you help these companies.
Well, in the food distribution business, they're running on such low profits that they can't afford to go back, shut aisles down, shut down different parts of the facility to repair the floor, and forklift maintenance is very expensive, especially with the equipment they're running today. Sometimes these pieces of equipment they're running on the floors cost $100,000 to $120,000. So to have that piece of equipment down for repairs is very costly. So they need a floor that will withstand that abuse without breaking down in a short period of time. So we do this through knowledge. We're always testing and improving our products and learning all that we can about concrete. We're not, you know, people think concrete is concrete. What's so special about it? Well, it's very scientific. And there's a lot of research and studies that go behind that, and we have helped move that along in our industry in helping to reduce the joints. And in concrete, you have to cut that concrete up into about 15-foot panels so that you don't get cracks. Everybody thinks that cracks are a big issue, but 75% of all complaints in food distribution centers are about joints and that joint deterioration affecting the forklift and affecting what they call the throughput through that facility. So quality, attention to detail is what makes our product better, and being able to eliminate those joints. In most facilities, we can eliminate up to 90% of the joints. With, say, in a 200,000-square-foot facility, we can eliminate somewhere in the neighborhood of 40,000 to 50,000 lineal feet of joints, which is very, very, very cost effective for those owners.
Well, you specialize in the food industry, but how much of your business, what percent is in the food industry?
Up until recent years, it was 100% in the food industry, and now we're starting to move into some other territories, and so we're probably about 75 to 80% in the food, and hopefully in the next 3 years, we can get that down to about 50% as we grow the business and expand our markets.
Well, you, as I mentioned at the very beginning, your company has now moved into both the north and south of the United States, Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Chile. Is that also in the food industry? Was there a need also to do that there that they weren't getting from local companies?
Yes, absolutely. And the move to Canada was something that we had tried in the past but couldn't put together quite the right business plan. And we had two of our current customers here in America that were wanting us to come up there and provide the same type of floors and the same quality. So the opportunity was there, which gave us the push to find the business model to go up there. And then in the Caribbean, it was a customer that knew of us and knew the quality, and so we were able to put together that program. In Mexico, it was an engineer that took us down there and introduced us to a local grocer down there. And then in Chile, we went to Chile in 2009 just in a desperation to find something to keep our business alive through the recession. And that developed into some other opportunities for us. So that's how those things came about.
So obviously you were growing as a result of some problems you had. Well, how about any success stories? Any stories you have in terms of what you've done for some of these companies where their facility was much better as a result of your concrete floors?
Yes. You take there's one client, Lowe's Distribution Centers. They have tried several different floor processes and different options, and we finally got involved and convinced them to spend a little bit more money on our type of floor, and we have greatly reduced their operating costs within that facility and reduced their maintenance cost of those floors in a large facility where now they're about to build another one, and we understand that it's pretty much a done deal.
We're speaking with Greg Fricks. Greg is the co-owner of the Fricks Company. And if you'd like to check them out, they are on the website at FricksCo.com. And you can find out more about what they do. Well, you mentioned a little bit of this as we were talking. What really sets Fricks apart from other companies that put in concrete floors?
Well, what separates us is the attention to detail, the knowledge, the education, and the experience. And the amount of respect that we have for our owners and what they expect from the product they're buying from us. But the knowledge is a great part of that.
Well, you said some information to me as I was doing some research about you and your company. And you said at one point that you decided not to be the biggest floor contractor, but the best.
That's right. We had a lot of opportunities to grow the business. We had one client at one point that had so much work, they were constantly asking us to add another crew. And we went back to them and told them, said, look, if we add another crew, we will lose what it is you like about us. We can't grow that fast, that much, and still produce the type of floors that you not only expect but demand from us.
So you're going to do it the right way or no way.
That's correct.
You mentioned that you had some obstacles during the recession where you had to go to Chile to look for additional business. But what are some of the biggest obstacles you've had, and how did you face them?
The biggest obstacles that we've had is within working for and then owning a family business, dealing with the family dynamics. And the way that we got through that, as I spoke to you earlier, is through total respect. You know, we were raised to show respect to our elders, and Brad and I continually showed respect to our father throughout the whole program. And at one point, my grandfather came and worked for us, so that presented some challenges
as well.
Three
generations right there.
That's right, under one roof. And just through mutual respect and then our father returning that respect, we got through it. And then now Brad and I have worked together for 20 years this May and never had a fight, never had a disagreement. That's not true. We've disagreed about some things, but we've never left the building mad at each other. And we always work it out, and we literally have never had a fight.
Well, congratulations on that. That's very unusual for a family because it's very easy to have fights with a sibling because you're so close to them.
Absolutely.
So it says a lot about the way your grandfather and father raised both of you. As an entrepreneur, because for all intents and purposes, you've been in this business since the beginning, what advice would you give other people that either would like to start a business or are in business and need to become more effective?
Well, one of the major things is having goals, setting goals for yourself and determining what it is that you want to achieve before you start down that path. And then as you travel down that path, always adjusting those goals and always surrounding yourself with people that are more knowledgeable about a specific subject than you are, always surrounding yourself with people that are better than you in ways that you can learn from them, and then that'll help you bring up the people that are under you, that are working for you. And one of the best ways that I found to do that was through an organization called Vistage. I knew that, you know, I grew up in the field. It's very common in the concrete construction for a guy to grow up in concrete, grow up in the field, and then start his own business, and you lack those business skills.
Well, you were so focused on only just one part.
Only focused on building the jobs, not necessarily the company. And my father and I both were caught in that trap. We were both extremely good, and Brad as well, extremely good in the field, and okay to good in the business sense, but knowing I knew I had some skills that I was lacking that I needed to take this company where Brad and I both wanted it to go. And I found Vistage, which is a CEO organization that helps get the skills that are needed to do that. So it's an organization where you're in a room with 14 of your peers and you toss back ideas and everybody helps you with your issues.
At the very least, you are now in with 13 other CEOs that are similar to you, that have similar types of problems. You're learning from each other.
Yes.
It's a great way to get going. Well, one of the things you had mentioned, the information you had sent me, is you have another piece of your business just starting called Frick's Construction Management.
Tell us
about that.
Well, we hired a gentleman by the name of Terry Swanson, who is actually a friend of ours, but very respected within the construction industry here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He'd worked for a general contractor for over 22 years, and he came to us with the idea of doing a construction management business and showed us the opportunities that were out there. And we still had a great name, we meaning Frick's, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area because our father performed so well and was so upstanding. He had a great reputation for being a guy who did what he said he was going to do. So we kind of played on that and then played on Terry's knowledge and his reputation. And so we're providing that service to design build firms, general contractors, and to owners. Like we're doing a job right now for a manufacturer. So we see a lot of potential with that job, with that company.
So Frick's is growing. And tell everybody one more time, if they'd like to find out more about your company, what do they do?
They can go on the internet. You can type in Frick's Floor or go to frickscode.com.
Well, Greg, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you for having me today.
You've had a lot of success. You're going to have more success. Greg Frick's is co-owner with his brother Brad from the Frick's Company. Don't go away. We're going to speak to the number one salesman for the city of Fort Worth. We're going to talk to Bob Jamison. Bob is CEO of the Fort Worth Convention and Visitors Bureau. Don't go away. Back right after this.
Jersey Mike's has teamed up with Wipeout Kids Cancer for the 6th annual Month of Giving to raise money for pediatric cancer research. All DFW area Jersey Mike's restaurants will collect donations on behalf of Wipeout Kids Cancer during the month of March. But on Wednesday, March 25th, Jersey Mike's will donate 100% of sales to Wipeout Kids Cancer. Encourage everyone to order, including catering. The Jersey Mike's partnership has raised nearly $450,000 to fund research projects and programs in search of a cure and better treatments for children fighting cancer. So, mark your calendars for the Day of Giving on March 25th and help us make a difference for children with cancer, one sub at a time.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. As I mentioned before the break, we have a gentleman who promotes Fort Worth. His name is Bob Jamison. After working 35 years in the hospitality field, Bob was selected as president and CEO of the Fort Worth Convention and Visitors Bureau in January of 2013. Now, the Fort Worth Convention and Visitors Bureau is the destination marketing organization of the 17th largest city where the West begins. Bob joined the Americana Hotel in Fort Worth in 1985 as resident manager. He was a member of the management team that led the transition from the Americana Hotel Company management to the Worthington Hotel. Now, Bob was named president and general manager of the Worthington Operating Company in 1987. And Marriott International purchased the Worthington in 1999 and renamed it the Worthington Renaissance Fort Worth Hotel. Well, Bob, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Well, I didn't talk about all of your background. There was more in there, too. So the question will be, to give people an idea of your background, how does a tram driver at the Santa Clara Marriott in Southern California become the president of the Fort Worth Convention and Visitors Bureau?
Well, I would say that it's a path filled with a lot of blessings along the way. This was a job that I had immediately out of college and in the hospitality industry, an industry that I had not really prepared or studied for. It was just that first job out of college. But I was fortunate enough to find myself in an industry that really matched those parts of me that just really allowed me to be successful. And I grew for 8 years within Marriott Corporation, which is where I started, was presented with an opportunity to come to Fort Worth, a whole new adventure there. And then after 14 years working for the Bass family in Fort Worth at the Worthington Hotel, Marriott International came back into the picture, and I was able to rejoin that company and work for another 14 years at the same hotel in a city that our family has come to love, to then find myself with the opportunity to lead that sales effort on behalf of the Fort Worth Convention Visitors Bureau has just been perfect and a wonderful opportunity.
Well, starting out as a tram driver and being in the hospitality industry, you must have some people orientation within you, because it's a people person business, all the way from, again, being a tram driver all the way up to running a hotel and running the Convention Visitors Bureau.
Well, one of the things that I think has served me well has been that, you know, has been that opportunity to have a variety of different jobs at a variety of different levels of responsibility within the industry, and to work side by side with those ladies and gentlemen that are in the housekeeping department for some number of years, and to see folks that are really working hard, taking pride in the work that they do behind the scenes in order to make a guest experience special. To see those folks that are culinary artists within the kitchens of the hotels really put their very best efforts forth and try and express themselves in a way that makes a memorable dining experience. Just you know, it's an industry that I believe calls people with a servant's heart to take care of people who are away from home and in unfamiliar circumstances. And I have, everywhere I've worked, been surrounded by really giving, caring, wonderful people.
Can't think of a much better background than the hotel industry to run a convention visitors bureau, because you know what is going on in those hotels. But let me ask you this, because a lot of people really don't understand it. What does the convention visitors bureau actually do?
Well, it has a variety of roles that it serves. And I think the one that people relate to most directly is the direct selling responsibility we have. And we are out there knocking on doors for people that are meeting planners. And so they are bringing conventions of great size, and they are corporate meeting planners that are bringing board meetings of 20 to 30 people. We're talking to people of all size, shapes, meetings, all purposes, all reasons. You put two people in a room, you've got a meeting. And so, you know, that it's...
And they have to meet someplace.
And so we're out there direct selling the Fort Worth story. But the other part of that, there are several parts in Fort Worth. There is the several people that are in the services department, and they support those meeting planners once they've made a decision to come to Fort Worth with the logistics and the planning and the aspects of having a successful conference in our city. We are the marketing arm, as you mentioned. We are the marketing arm for the city of Fort Worth, with a message specifically directed at people coming for a short period of time, people who are visiting the city. And so we're working on public relations and ad placement, message development, as well as website presence, and really making sure that we're communicating all the attributes of the city of Fort Worth. We take that responsibility very seriously because we're representing the story of 890,000 people that live in the city of Fort Worth in a way that suggests you ought to come and visit with us. Another part of what we do is also the fact that we manage the herd in the stockyards. Those drovers are our personnel. Those longhorns are our longhorns, and the horses that the drovers are riding are our horses. And so we've got about 15 people out dedicated to making sure that two times a day, 11:30 and 4 p.m. up on Exchange Avenue, that there is a cattle drive of these majestic longhorn steers making their way up and down the street. And we'll have, over the course of the year, 800,000 people on the sidewalks of Exchange Avenue watching that take place.
Well, that is something that is a big part of Fort Worth. People know about that far and wide. We're speaking with Bob Jamieson, and the website, very easy to remember, is fortworth.com. Well, you mentioned the herd, and that goes on twice a day. And what times are those again?
11:30 and 4 p.m.
There are other events that are coming up in Fort Worth, too, and I want you to talk about these real quickly because they're coming up relatively quickly. First of all, the Food and Wine Festival, which is at your old establishment, what goes on there?
Well, it's a variety of experiences. You know, we're really excited about this. This is year two for this event, and it really comes from some great restaurateurs and culinarians that wanted to make sure that Fort Worth dining story was told. And it does use the Worthington Renaissance Hotel as a headquarters, but there are a variety of events that take place in different locations around the city. There are grand tastings that will take place at the Worthington, and they'll be different every night. So I believe it's Thursday night, Friday night. They will have a different selection of restaurant operators with their, with their offerings out there for people to come sample. There is a rise and dine experience. It's a brunch offering on Saturday that is also very special. There is burgers, brews, and blues out at Clear Fork Ranch, and that is a lot of fun as well, with all those folks that are making great burgers all coming together and letting you choose from that. There is a dessert offering that takes place at the Firestone and Robertson Distillery. And so throughout the course of the weekend, just all sorts of places to go and, set your diets aside and just enjoy some good food.
And you get more information at fortworth.com, and that's going to be next week, I believe, beginning March 26th.
That's correct.
How about the Main Street Arts Festival, which is going to be April 9th at Sundance Square?
Well, that festival is in its 30-plus year. It is goes back to, 30th year. It goes back to 1985, and it has been ranked as one of the highest-rated arts festivals by the International Festival Association. It is a great series of experiences. Of course, up and down Main Street, the whole downtown just turns itself over to this. We'll have about 400,000 people during the course of the weekend, Thursday night, Thursday afternoon and evening, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Wonderful entertainment on a nonstop basis throughout the course of those days. You know, great juried artists, craftspeople that will have their products for sale. And, again, a lot of great food and dining and a great deal of fun.
Well, I've spoken to your counterpart at the Dallas Convention Visitors Bureau, and a big part of what you do, and I'm seeing this from some of your festivals, is the people and the money that you're actually bringing into the city of Fort Worth. That has to be absolutely phenomenal when you look at all that you're doing, both on the convention side and the visitor side.
Well, I think we've just celebrated or acknowledged, I guess, both, the 50th anniversary of the formation of the Convention and Visitors Bureau in the city of Fort Worth. And it started as, while we have been welcoming visitors going back to the 1870s and people on cattle drives coming through and the Chisholm Trail and the rest of it, a formal recognized effort to take advantage of the economic impact that comes by virtue of the visitor to the city of Fort Worth was adopted by the Chamber of Commerce back in 1965, and from 1965 to 1986, it operated as a department of the chamber. 1986, it spun off as its own entity. But today, there's a $1.6 billion economic impact from the visitor in the city of Fort Worth. There are 14,000 people with jobs in the industry directly related to taking care of visitors to town. And so, you know, and there is $800 per household of governmental services that are paid for by people who do not live in the city of Fort Worth. And so, you know, so that service provided or covered by your tax dollar goes a little bit further because other people are coming to town and helping us all out.
Tremendous economic impact. Well, to round this out, we have about a minute or so left. What are some of the initiatives that the Fort Worth Convention and Visitors Bureau is actually doing to market Fort Worth both domestically and internationally as a meetings and a leisure destination?
Domestically, we focus on several markets. 70% of the visitors to Fort Worth come within the state, and so we're very present in various large city markets, but also in West Texas, and trying to promote the different activities and events that are going on. We also find a lot of, you know, great response from our friends up in Oklahoma. And as you work your way up the city's midsection, you also find that there is a lot of interest in Missouri and St. Louis and such. And we're seeing the same kind of interest to a lesser degree, but we think worth chasing, up in Chicago. So those are markets that we're working specifically. We also find that California has some opportunity for us when we measure the, when we use the data that we have to tell us where people are coming from. So we're investing some marketing efforts there. Internationally, the international traveler is well served by DFW International Airport's direct flight service all around the world. They have almost 60 direct flights to international destinations. So we get a lot of visitation from Canada, from Mexico, from the United Kingdom, from Germany. Qantas Airlines opened direct flight service about 3 years ago, and we have seen visitors from Australia growing leaps and bounds since that opportunity presented itself. American Airlines just introduced direct flight service to Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Beijing, and China represents an incredible market for us as well. We work very closely with DFW Airport and with the City of Dallas in order to promote the region.
And Bob wants you going west out of DFW Airport in many cases rather than just east.
Well, it's an easy right turn to make coming out of the south end of that airport.
Very easy. Well, Bob, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
And where can they go again to find out more about Fort Worth?
Well, fortworth.com is the best place to go, and we've got a full complement of details and information to share with you.
Again, Bob Jamieson is the CEO of the Fort Worth Convention and Visitors Bureau. This has been a fantastic show. Thank you all very much for joining us. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.